The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the memorials of the righteous. And you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophets' blood.' Thus you bear witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a perfect back-to-school homily. Gospel. Wow. It's the scourging, Jesus, do you know? I don't know. I want to say it has to hit us. It has to hit us. Do you know, there are any number of options, like how to celebrate the Mass. Kinda. Not as many as you would be led to believe, but there are some options. Like in the beginning, there's some options for what is the rite at the beginning? I'm losing my mind here. No, and it's impossible to hear you with masks on as well. No, before. No, oh my gosh. The penitential rite. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cummings. Yeah. I can make you out just about. The penitential rite. We prefer, I think, as a church, "I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters." We prefer. Now, I personally prefer the tropes that I say. "You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy." Why? Why? Because I need healing. It's kind of selfish, right? But I need healing. And so I try to be contrite of heart. And then the next one is just as powerful. "You came to call sinners." That's me, Jesus. That's me. "You came to call sinners. I'm a sinner. And you came to call me." The same for you, my friends. And I think the gospel passage is there. Because, you know, Jesus loves the scribes and Pharisees. And he has a really hard time with their lack of response to him. And he wants them to know themselves. He wants them to come to know themselves and where they are and what they're doing so that they might turn it around. And maybe some good number of them, in fact, did turn it around. Because of this is a heartfelt plea. This is not anger. It's condemnation, but it's right. It's good. It's good. Because it's condemnation of all the wrong things. That's what we want. We want Jesus to condemn all the wrong things in us. Every place where we're going astray, every place we're going wrong. Right? Every place we're committing spiritual suicide, we want him to condemn in us. And we want him to bring about in us new life. So I don't know, maybe it is a good back to school gospel, but it's a tough one. It's a tough one. But I mean, it has to be, because, and it's back to school, but it's back to life. It's back to church. It's back to faith. It's starting again. It's the life of the Spirit. It's always new. It's always right. A new digging in, a new opening up. This is the work that Jesus wants to do. Not one of us is done. And every new day could be this new project. If we allow Jesus to do it. I mean, how many of us are free from what Jesus is condemning in the scribes and the Pharisees? How many of us are free from hypocrisy? Not one of us. Not one of us is free from this. Jesus is free from it. Jesus is totally free from it. And he's calling us to participate in his life anew. That's what's happening. And I don't know. The new journey begins. Yeah? But that's all we ever have. All we ever have is the journey. Until at last we reach Jesus, the destination. But he's drawing us along. He's giving us new life, new strength, a new fervor. He wants the renewal of our hearts and minds, of our whole lives. And you know, outside of context, again, this would be a challenge. We wouldn't be able to meet it, you know, and all the rest. But you know, even here, the harsh ending for what Jesus gives the scribes and Pharisees: fill up what your ancestors measured out. Here they are, right? They say, and they disagree with Jesus, that they are who he says he is. But even that turns out to be superficial, because they're going to turn Jesus over. Right? They say, we're not as bad. We wouldn't have killed the prophets. They're going to kill Jesus. But he's there to walk right into it, to take that wickedness on himself as well and exhaust it, to take their sin on himself and exhaust it so that they don't have to live slave to it any longer. And that's it. So even as we have, this is the Christian life. I don't know any other way to live. I don't know how to live any other way. And I don't know how anyone else could live any other way. Yet we experience our brokenness. We experience our wickedness. We know it's true. And yet Jesus makes present to us his goodness, his forgiveness. And it hits us right there. It hits us where we most need help, where we're most broken and most wicked. That's where he encounters us. And he encounters us, yes, with his forgiveness. He encounters us with his merciful love. He encounters us with his healing strength. And it's ours. If we just stand before him in all transparency, in all vulnerability, offering to him who we are, good and bad, mainly bad, no, good and bad, right? If we offer ourselves to him as we truly are, as we pledge ourselves to him, we find in him the cure for what ails us. My friends, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. We give ourselves to Jesus. Jesus gives himself whole and entire to us. So let's just put it out there. Let's just put it out there. And trust in his merciful love so that we can begin again to found our entire lives on his merciful love. And we may become messengers of his merciful love to a world that so desperately needs it.